Paul Fabry is an elegant Hungarian-born gentleman of the old school who lives with his wife Betsy in a 170-year-old house on Bourbon Street. He describes his life as one filled with many little mosaics and a few really big ones.
The change from one continent to another, to change your life totally from a European into an American, from a job like I was in Europe, I was a diplomat, let's say, and come here and become a porter with the mafiosi guys on the New Jersey shoreline, 4 o'clock in the morning, lifting bags and cases of macaroni, was a major change and a formative change.
It was 1949 when Fabry, a stateless refugee, got that job on the Jersey Shore, 2 years after the communist takeover of the Budapest government. Having resigned his diplomatic post as envoy to Turkey, Fabry remained in Istanbul until he received a visa to come to the United States. Life then became very different.
By the time I arrived, I was an absolute nobody. You denied that you had a doctorate. You denied that you had white ties and good shirts and clean nails because you wouldn't fit in with the mafiosi that you had to work for your $5 an hour wage.
Fabry's entry into another world was likely made somewhat easier, the result of lessons learned from the cruel and intolerant atrocities of the Nazi invasion into Europe.
I was then in Hungary during the period of the most critical last chapter of the Holocaust, when they deported hundreds of thousands of Jews in Hungary and also in the neighboring countries to Auschwitz, Bergen-Belsen, the various concentration camps. By 1944, when it started in Hungary, I have already seen the results of that Holocaust devastation in Poland. So I joined a military resistance group. Officers, mostly aristocrats, were the first ones to abandon the regime. And I became an active, very unimportant, but very active member of that resistance group.
Working with Swiss, Swedish, and British agents, Fabry and members of the group forged false papers and established 4 or 5 safe houses, fooling the Nazis into believing that Jews were being held there for execution or deportation to concentration camps.
But I had a role in the resistance in trying to protect safe houses with a unit that I commanded as a captain, which I was not. I was a lieutenant, and I wasn't Fabry. I named myself Captain Gombos. We naturally saved thousands of people in those safe houses. And that was really the only meaningful thing in my life that I can recall that was a positive thing that I can put my finger on. The rest are marginal things.
So is there one particular lesson Paul Fabry took away from such experiences?
The key word is tolerance. You know, what it teaches you is to accept other people's opinion, way of life, other people's taste, and be tolerant to those that you disagree with. The bums, the dope addicts, the prostitutes, they're part of life. You don't execute them.
Fabry carried that lesson through to his next position as a member of President Eisenhower's Committee for a Free Europe, then as public relations advisor to the huge DuPont Company in Delaware, and then as managing director of International House in New Orleans. To read more about Paul Fabry's extraordinary life, go to wwno.org, or NOLAVIE.com. For WWNO, I'm Sharon Litwin.